The first reading comes from the first book of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 26 to 31. This can be found in page 3 of the Pew Bibles. We hear the story of the sixth day of creation. Genesis 1, reading from verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that scurry around along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given you green plants as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life, and that is what happened." Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. The evening passed, and the morning came, marking the sixth day. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, reading from verse 28 to 35, which can be found on page 827 of the Pew Bibles. We hear the final words of Jesus as he gives his life for our sins. John chapter 19, reading from verse 28. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill Scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked the sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. It was a day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then the bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also can believe. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, "Not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one they pierced." To God be the glory in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. C.S. Lewis is one of my favourite Christian authors. He was born Clive Staples Lewis, baptised into the Church of Ireland, but fell away from his faith in his late teenage years. At the age of 32, he returned to faith, mainly due to the influence of his close friend J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings. Lewis was a lay theologian, which means he never received any formal teaching in theology, theology being the study of the nature of God and religious beliefs. Although he never had any formal teaching in theology, his books in the Chronicles of Narnia, aimed at children but loved by adults alike, are full of Christian analogy. His book, Mere Christianity, is a must for any who want to have a better understanding of the basics of the Christian faith, be they learned scholars or people who have never picked up a Bible before. But my favourite C.S. Lewis book is called The Screwtape Letters. It's a study of human nature recorded in a series of letters between a senior demon, Screwtape, and his nephew, Wormwood, a junior tempter, whose mission is to secure the damnation of a human, only ever referred to as the patient. I was reminded of the book earlier this week when I came across an article based on it, but not credited to it. It said the following. In a convention of devils, the topic of discussion was the modernization of methodology to lure men and women away from God and heaven. The chairman invited suggestions from the delegates of devils. One shrewd devil suggested, "Let us tell people that there is no heaven or hell, and so they may enjoy life to the full without any consequence." "People will not be convinced, for God has given everyone an inbuilt conscience. Think of better ideas," ruled the leader of the devils. Another devil, shrewder than the first, made a different suggestion. "We will tell them there is a heaven of happiness, but no hell. Hence, they will assume that their salvation is assured. Then they will live as they please. And on Judgment Day, they will find out too late the folly of their ways." Then the shrewdest of all the devils stood up and suggested that they should tell the people, "Both heaven and hell are real. But there is no need to worry such things today, because there will be plenty of time tomorrow to transform your lifestyle before death. There is no hurry. Worry not and be merry. Death is a distant event." All the assembled devils agreed that this was the best plan to draw people to hell. Postponement of transformation is the devil's trickiest temptation. Delaying and seeking forgiveness is the devil's greatest hope. Thus, tomorrow becomes the busiest day in our lives as we postpone to tomorrow many things that need to be done today. Tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the sinner. Tomorrow is a day we will all remember. Remember the 5th of November. Today is the day before, the 4th. There is always a day before, a day before all the great days we remember in history. On the 6th day of creation, God created human beings and he was glad. There was a day before. Can you remember what he did on the 5th day of creation? I'm not going to embarrass you. God created all the birds and all the fish. What happened the day before November the 11th, 1918? The day before February the 14th? The day before 1st of April? The day before the first Christmas day? In 1918, someone died because they were one day away from peace. On the 31st of March, a number of years ago, I was not tricked by my son into brushing my teeth with butter. He and his mum had pushed into the top of the toothpaste tube. 2,000 years ago or so, someone unknown to us was born on that first Christmas Eve. People were born and people died all over the world on all those days before. People fell in love, people separated, people found faith and people lost faith. People seized opportunities and people missed others. People starved while others feasted. People worked, people played, people laughed while others cried. People lived life. But did they live life to the full? Did they seize the opportunity to make that day special? If you knew that tomorrow would be your last day of life, what would you do today, the day before, to make it special? On my desk, I have one of those daily flip card things that give you a famous quote or a thought for the day. Like, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. In the 18th century, a certain English aristocrat by the name of Lord Chesterfield wrote a number of sayings that have been used in many of today's daily flip cards. He wrote things like, "Whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. Advice is seldom welcome, and those who want it the most always like it the least. And be wiser than other people if you can, but do not tell them so." Or, "A weak mind is like a microscope which magnifies trifling things but cannot receive great ones." My favourite quote from Lord Chesterfield is this: "Know the true value of time. Snatch, seize, and enjoy every moment of it. No idleness, no delay, no procrastination. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today." Unlike you and I, Jesus knew the time of his death. He knew that he would be killed on Good Friday. He knew when he would suffer and die. So what did Jesus do the day before? He did what we're going to reenact in a little while. He sat down with his disciples and shared his Last Supper with them. It used to be a tradition in so-called civilized countries to offer a condemned man or woman a last meal. Something special, something they chose that was for them special. I don't know for sure, but I believe they still observe this practice in those states in America that they still carry out death sentence executions. What would you choose to eat if it was you? Steak, fish and chips, perhaps a curry or some a la carte delicacy, followed by a mouth-watering dessert and washed down with champagne or original recipe iron brew. No matter what delicacy or feast you choose to satisfy your taste buds, the feeling would only be temporary. The next day, the memory of that meal would be just that, simply a memory. And at the moment of your execution, that memory would be terminated. Jesus sat down the day before he was executed and shared a sacred feast of bread and wine with his disciples, the benefits of which would not be terminal, but eternal. By eating of his bread and drinking his wine, we receive spiritually the body and blood of Christ. By receiving Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we receive a promise of tomorrow that is limitless. But don't wait until tomorrow to accept Jesus, because tomorrow may not come for you. In fact, it may not come for the whole world, for no one apart from the condemned knows when the end will come. We live in this day, so how should we live today? The Apostle Paul wrote with words that answer that question to the early Christians in Corinth, who were being tempted at the time by Satan's demons to turn away from God. Paul wrote about how he lived and who they and we and how we should live and how they and we should live. Paul wrote, "We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Powerful words from the Apostle Paul. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. A day like all other days. A day to turn to God. Today is the day of our salvation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't put off till tomorrow to accept the feast that Jesus offers you today. Don't believe the lies of the devil that time does not matter. For only God knows when our time will come and if we have any tomorrow. This need not be the day before a special day. Let this day, the 4th of November, be the most special day of our life as we accept Jesus and follow his ways. Let me leave you with this thought for today. God created human beings on the 6th day of creation. We know he created all the birds and the fish on the day before. But what did God do the day after? On the 7th day of creation, God rested. Why? Because the day before, he created human beings like you and I. Either that took so much out of God that he was tired, or he had reached the pinnacle of his creation. You are the ultimate creation in God's plan. Know that you are special. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, on this day, this 4th of November, let this day be special. Let every day be special for us as we live it with you. Because, Lord, you love us so much. And if we spend a day with someone we love, then that day should be special. Lord, here today we celebrate our communion. We remember what Jesus did. Lest we forget that Jesus gave his life for us. And he said that if we take him as our Savior, repent of our sins and turn to him, he promises us eternal life. Lord, let us not put off to tomorrow to accept that promise. For we know not if tomorrow will ever come. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.